Praise the Lord, and God is good. We are going to get started. We are going to talk about victories in your mouth. This is part one. Part one is going to be talking about the law of binding and loosing and speaking faith. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word today. Thank you that you would think through my mind, speak to my vocal cords. I bind all demonic influence that would try to stop, block, or hinder the word from going forth, reaching the people that you have ordained it to reach before the world was founded. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Victory is in your mouth. Victory is in your mouth. Praise God. Let's just get right into it. All righty. This is section one. We're going to talk about binding and loosing. Binding and loosing. In Matthew 16:13-19, it says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 17, Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon or Jonah. He says, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So he got this revelation from God. In verse 18, it says, and I say to you that you are Peter. And he says, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Or the gates of Hades are hell. Alrighty. So what he's saying is the church is built on the rock of revelation knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's what the church is built up. The word church means to be called out of darkness into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God's dear son's love, which is Jesus. Amen. All right. So then he goes on in verse 19 and says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Praise God. So do you see that? Mm-hmm. It says, this is the keys of heaven. So that's keys are symbolic of authority. And so he goes on and says, whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. So God gave me this revelation years ago when I was struggling with some things in my life personally. And it really was awesome. It changed my life, saved my marriage, saved my family. Praise God. So very, very important revelation that he gave me here on binding and loosing. So now in Matthew 16:13-19, again, it teaches us that Jesus gave the church the keys of the kingdom. And one of those keys is the spiritual law of binding and loosing. Binding and loosing. So in Matthew 16:19, this is the Amplified version. Forgive me, I didn't put that up there, but this is the Amplified version. And the Amplified, it says, I will give you the keys. Keys represented authority, knowledge of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you bind, and that word bind means to forbid or to not allow. So it says, whatever you will forbid or not allow, declaring to be improper and unlawful. Do you see that? Mm-hmm. So we're to declare or don't allow what is improper or unlawful on the earth. He says, we'll have already been bound in heaven and whatever is loose. So stop. Meaning, bound in heaven, meaning, it would have already been improper and unlawful in heaven. So whatever, that's why Jesus taught, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the law of heaven stands in the law of the earth. So when the earth, when a man petitions God in heaven based on his law that he's written and established, God enforces that law in the earth for that individual. Okay? All right, so the church's job is to take authority and dominion in the earth with the backing of heaven. I'm saying it again. It's the church's job to take authority in the earth based on the laws of heaven. Heaven backs us up when we declare what is lawful and improper. And it starts with us individually. We can do this individually and we can do it collectively. So sin is unlawful. It is forbidden in heaven, right? Therefore, it's forbidden in the earth. So as the church matures and understands how to operate within the legalities of heaven, revelation knowledge, God backs us up when we make that decision to judge things unlawful and forbidden. So, all right. So we're going to just bear with me in this teaching. We've got a lot to just some things we got to grab a hold to. So now, let me go back to that. So he says, so whatever we declare or bind or don't allow that is forbidden and declared improper and unlawful on the earth will have already been bound in heaven. So it's already unlawful and improper in heaven. All right. And whatsoever we loose, the word loose means to permit. Whatever we permit or declare lawful on earth will have already been loosed or lawful in heaven. So again, we are here as the body of Christ to enforce heaven's law. We are heaven's enforcement agents in the earth as men. And when we enforce the laws of heaven, heaven backs us up. Just like a police officer, he enforces the law. Someone driving down the street and, you know, breaking the speed limit, it's the police officer's job to enforce that law. Okay? When the police officer enforces the law, he stops the person that was, you know, breaking the speed limit, writes him a ticket, and he has to pay the penalty for breaking the law. So God has spiritual laws in motion. Okay? Now, if that person don't want to pay the ticket or whatever, then guess what? Now they'll put a bench warrant out for him, or they'll, you know, the judge will then enforce that ticket. You got to pay it, or he can go to court and fight it. He has that right. Right? So now, there are spiritual legalities that we must come to understand as a spiritual church, a supernatural church. A supernatural church understands the spiritual legalities of heaven. And so, all righty, that's enough on that. We're going to be talking about this for years to come. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're just getting into some things. This is for people that want to mature and grow up. Okay. All righty. So now. So binding stops the work of the enemy. Loosing is what releases the will of God in the earth. So heaven backs what we bind and loose when we speak in agreement with the word. Do you see that? Hallelujah. Now, I can just explain it, but I can't give people the revelation of it. They have to, as you seek the Lord, he'll give you the revelation of it. Praise the Lord. So I'm praying that, praise God, that, you know, we get this. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All righty. Continuing on with section one. Binding and loosing is section one. So this binding and loosing is not emotional or begging. Just like if you go to court, okay, if you go to court, the judge on the bench sympathizes with how a person feels when they're crying and boohooing and going through things that, you know, has happened to them. But in the end, the judge is going to rule based on the law. Yeah. So if you don't know what the law is, you can cry and boohoo all day. The judge can't rule in your favor because he's bound. You ever heard this word? Bound by the law. He has to rule according to the rule of law. So you might be not guilty, but if you don't know your legal rights and if you don't know the law, you can't fight and be justified. So if people don't know the spiritual laws that has been provided for them in Christ Jesus, guess what? Sickness, poverty, all kind of stuff will be in their life and they're going to church bound, but don't understand they have a right to be free. Ought not this woman be free who been bound for 18 years? Mm-hmm. She had a covenant right to be free. All righty. Religion steals the legalities away from you where you can't walk. What people don't, they're carrying burdens they don't have to carry. They're going through things in life they don't have to go through because they think they have to go through them. there's benefits in our salvation. Okay. So again, this is not emotional. It is not, and it's not about begging and crying and pleading, even though God cares about how we feel. This is authority. This is about authority and operating with the boundaries of the legalities or the laws of heaven. Jesus said, whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. He said that. And whatsoever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. And remember what he said to Peter? Peter said, he said, who do you say I am? He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So it's based on that revelation, upon this rock, that word rock, upon this revelation. You having the revelation of what you have and are in Christ Jesus is what's going to determine if the gates of hell is being against you or not, is prevailing against you or not. All right. The word says that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge and they reject knowledge. God's trying to give them spiritual understanding so they can apply the spiritual knowledge of the word through practical application. And that's my goal in this teaching. And as I continue to teach over these, that's my goal as a teacher. This means that the believer has a right to shut down what is not of God and release what God has already provided in Christ. You have a right to shut down anything in your life that is not based on what Christ has done for you. Anything in your life that is not based on what Jesus has done for you is illegal in the earth as a believer in your life. It is spiritually illegal. The devil has no right to violate you because you're a child of the kingdom and you have kingdom laws. I mean, kingdom rights. But if you don't know the spiritual laws of heaven, you won't operate them. And that's what I'm trying to get us to see through this. Say this with me. Results.
Results.
It's time for results. It's understanding the spiritual laws of heaven that produces results in your life. The kingdom of God operates by spiritual legalities. Spiritual laws that govern the natural world. Spiritual laws that govern the natural world. So legalities means the quality or state of being in accordance with the law. Glory to God. This is good stuff. Spiritual legalities is the lawfulness of the spirit realm. So when we sin, we're actually breaking spiritual laws, but a lot of people don't know it. It feels good to fornicate and do things like that, but we're violating spiritual laws that God put in motion. He says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, but it feels so good. Yeah, it does feel good, but it's supposed to be in the boundary of a marriage. That's the law from heaven. The reason the law came is to reveal to us the law, because if you don't know the law, you don't know you're breaking the law. You know, if you're driving down the street and you're doing 45 and a 25 and there's no sign posted, hey, how would you know? You just, you know what I'm saying? So the law is, the sign is there every so often so you can see. Amen?
Amen.
This is the way it works. So grace, you get a stay of grace where you can get things right. And see, that's, I gotta stay on task. So now, spiritual legalities is the lawfulness of the spirit realm. The lawfulness of the spirit realm, the way spiritual actions, authority and outcomes must align with spiritual laws. Okay. And praise God. So now I want to talk about the application of binding and loosing, in Galatians 5:16-24. It shows us how to apply this truth. Now, God gave me this revelation years ago. It was back in 19, when we got married, I think we got married in what, 1992. So about 1993 or 4, I got this revelation and I applied it in my life. And that's what saved my marriage. Okay. This is what saved my marriage. So in Galatians 16-24, it talks about the works of the flesh and the fruits of the spirit. So when you see the works of the flesh listed in the word, you have the authority to bind them in Jesus' name. In John 17:2, Jesus said when he was praying to the Father to restore him back to his rightful place. He was getting ready to go to the cross and he was praying. Jesus said this. He said, as you have given me authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. So Jesus, oh man, to as many, I mean, I hope you and the many of he's given him, all you got to do is accept it. Anyway, he's given me to Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God. I got a chance to come back and get it right. Look at this here. Again, he says, he gave him authority over all flesh. Okay? Jesus has authority over all flesh. So when you see the fruits of the Spirit, listen to the word of God, you have the authority to loose those fruits. All right. So you can take authority over the works of the flesh because Jesus has the authority over the flesh. Now, evil spirits, what they do is they feed on flesh. They move you in your flesh area or they pull you in your flesh area. They want you to move in your flesh because when you're in the flesh, you're not in the spirit. So you break those spiritual laws. And so that's why he makes it seem like it's all great. It says sin is fun for a season. He makes it seem fun until all of a sudden the rug is pulled out from under you and all hell breaks loose in your body and your finances and your marriage and your home. Why? Because you've been breaking spiritual laws all this time in your life and you didn't know it. And so he pulls a trump card on you, so to speak. You got you are uno for people that poop. You know, uno, pick five. Anyway. And you wonder why things start getting bad after you get saved, because the enemy brings retaliating spirits against you to try to pull you back. Because he's trying to drag as many people he can to hell with him. Alrighty now. So continuing on with the practical application of binding and loosing. So what I would do is I would look at this scripture when I got that revelation of binding and loosing. So I would look at the scripture each morning or throughout the day. Or before I went to bed. Okay? And this is what I do. I would say, in the name of Jesus, I bind the works of the flesh in me. So when I bound the work of the flesh in me, the devil had no legal right to affect me. I'm going to say it again. When I bind the work of the flesh in me, the devil had no right to affect me. So when you bind the works of flesh in you, you're shutting down demons and devils from influencing you. See, spirits influence you to do certain things to break spiritual laws that you don't even know you're breaking. Okay? Get you out of character. So I would begin to bind it. So I bind the works of the flesh in me. This is what I say. I bind the works of the flesh in me. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, robberies, and such alike. You know, people are like, what is heresy? It's you in the flesh. It's a work of the flesh. And it says in such light. And it says, and then I was. So you are not claiming these works of the flesh as your identity. Now, I wrote that's important. That's not your identity because you're now born again. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. But this is how you begin to bind the works and begin to crucify your flesh. A lot of people don't teach this, but this is really how it works. So you are binding them so that they don't have no authority to operate in your life. We fight not against flesh and blood, but against what? Spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. So there's spirits that try to pull on you, you know, get you operating in a little attitude or clapping back or talking about people. When you're talking about people, especially members of the body of Christ, you're fighting against the body of Christ, and that's creating the curse. So a lot of people are sick because they don't know how to judge the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? What? You're breaking a spiritual law and don't even know it. All right. Praise the Lord. So now, continuing on with this practical application. So then you can say, or I would say, I loose in the name of Jesus the fruits of the Spirit in me. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Look what it says. Against such there is no law. And I loose what God has already placed in my born-again spirit. See, that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in your mortal flesh, and it quickens your flesh, or it takes dominion over your flesh. So true dominion begins and ends with taking dominion over your flesh nature. You got to learn to take dominion over your carnal man so that you can live by your spirit man. Okay? So what happened to church as usual? You are the church, but you got to learn how to take dominion of your carnal nature or your flesh nature and live out of your born again spirit. Okay? So binding removes what is not of God and looses and releases what God has already given you. This is an every area of your life, spiritually, physically, and financially. All right? So speaking the word activates spiritual law. And heaven responds to your authority. You are the authority over your life. You are the authority in the earth. And so he's given you the authority. What's your authority? Your authority is your will. You can choose to live godly or you can choose to live ungodly. No spirit can force you to do anything that you don't want to do. Nobody can. You know, you can't force a criminal to live right. That's why you got to lock them up, because they don't want to. No one can force your will. Only you in control of your will. Now, you'll be punished if you violate the law, but you're still doing it by your will. But if there's something going on the inside of you that hinders you from doing what you want to do, then there's a spirit behind that. A lot of people are addicted to drugs. Well, that addiction is feeding on the flesh, and it's got the mind occupied. And a lot of times it's a spirit behind that. And so, you know, people getting upset with people that's on drugs and family members and don't understand. It's a spirit that caused that. Spirits enter in through wounds, heartache, and pain. A need that you have, and he exploits needs. We were created to be loved and cherished by God. And so when a person doesn't know God, they're separated from God, they find love in people, places, and things. That becomes idols to them. So an idol is anything that you love above God. And so idols has taken the place of God in your life. And then eventually it destroys your life. You love a person. You love a place. You love a thing. You can't even love ministry more than God. That's why a lot of people get off in the goofy. Anyway. So, praise the Lord. So speaking the word activates spiritual laws. And heaven responds to your authority. This is how you walk in the spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. All righty. Let's get on to section two, believing in the heart and speaking with the mouth. Section two is believing in the heart and speaking with your mouth. All righty. In Romans 10, 9 through 10, it shows us that everything we receive from God follows the same pattern. What's that? We believe in our heart and we speak with our mouth. This is how we received our salvation. This is how we were saved. We received our salvation. This is how we receive everything from God. The same way we receive our salvation is the same way we receive everything. The word says, so with the heart one believes. So we believe in Jesus, right? Yes. Unto righteousness. That's what makes us righteous. Jesus is the substitute. He becomes our righteousness before God as we're here still on the earth. So he takes that place for us. It was a great exchange. All righty. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. This means your heart believes what God has said and your mouth agrees with it by saying it is so. Does that make sense? Is that simple enough for you? So when your heart and your mouth come into agreement with the word, faith is then released. So when you believe what the word says and you say it with your mouth, faith is released. How did we receive our salvation? Someone told us about Jesus. If you believe him as God's son that died for you and God raised him from the dead, what does it say? Thou shalt be saved. And you say, I believe. But now there's more to that. You're supposed to say, I believe he's the Lord. And you're supposed to allow him to be the Lord of your life. And a lot of people don't do that. But let's just deal with this right now. Okay. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Continue on in 2 Corinthians 4:13. It says, I believe, therefore I what? Spoke. See, that's the word of faith we preach. In other words, we teach to get you to believe in Jesus. We teach or we preach to get you to believe in Jesus, to believe in who you are in Jesus, to believe in what you have in Jesus. Glory to God. To believe in what Jesus has done for you. God gave us Jesus. He's the gift. It's all about him. It's all about Jesus. And if you don't have a diet, which is an ear to hear about Jesus, you're probably on the road to deception. Are you on the rat wheel? You're on the, I call it the hamster wheel of religion, where you go nowhere. All righty. Praise the Lord. So in 2 Corinthians 4:13, it says, I believe, therefore I have spoke. I spoke. The spirit of faith always speaks what it believes. So the spirit of faith, meaning you have faith in your spirit of faith, it always speaks what it believes. Watch this, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is not silent. Faith does not wait to see something before speaking. Faith speaks because it believes what God has already said are provided for you in Christ Jesus. Remember we did the definition of faith? Faith means to believe in someone or something. New covenant faith is faith in Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave Jesus, whoever shall believe in Jesus shall not perish but have everlasting life. So you got to believe in what Jesus has done for you, and that's where our faith lies. All right, in Romans 10:6, it says, Romans 10:6 calls this the righteousness of faith. It says that righteousness speaks. It does not say I need to see Jesus first. It believes the word and then speaks the word. See, that's what faith does. Faith believes the word, then speaks the word. Okay? This is how the believer walks in the reality of what Jesus has done. This is powerful. See, we're supposed to walk in the reality of what Jesus has already provided for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. Well, how do we do that? By believing in our heart and saying that, saying what we have in Jesus. All righty. So now, 1 John 5:4. This is the victory that overcomes the world. What's that? Our faith in Jesus. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. All right. So our faith is our confession of what we believe about Jesus. Man, I'm just saying the same thing over and over again. That's how you grow. When that's how you grow. That's how you get it. And you listen to this, you'll stop listening to all that other goofy stuff that ain't doing nothing for you. I stop listening. They ain't saying nothing about Jesus. I don't want to hear it. That's bold, ain't it? But that's the truth. God gave me Jesus. So who's ever believing Jesus? I'm supposed to look to Jesus. I can't understand God unless I see God through the eyes of Jesus. I'll never understand God until I come to understand who I am in Christ. You'll never understand God. In fact, it's not our job to understand him. It's our job to believe him. Believe in him and to believe what he's done for us in Jesus. Our job is to believe in God and to believe in what he's done for us in Jesus. That's it. I don't need to figure out anything else. I'm not a theologian. I'm a believer in Jesus. Praise the Lord. All righty. Our faith is our confession of what we believe about Jesus. Who he is and what he's done and who we are in him. Victory is released when we speak what we believe according to the word about Jesus, our Messiah, the Christ. Glory to God. This is the faith principle, y'all. This is the faith principle. You believe in your heart what God has said, and you speak it with your mouth. The same way we receive our salvation is the same way we receive our benefits and provisions of our salvation. So your salvation has benefits. It has provisions. You have legal rights as a citizen of heaven. Heaven will help you in the earth when you believe what heaven has provided for you. Glory to God. Glory to God. I said heaven will help you in the earth when you believe what heaven has provided for you in Jesus. See, that's when this thing becomes real. God. It's about having a real God that really helps you in real life. When you find yourself stuck between a rock and a hard place and you don't see no way out, glory to God, Jesus is the way out.
Yes.
Call on his name. You would never be put to shame for calling on. You got to invoke his name. Invoke what he's done for you. Praise God. And then it becomes real. It becomes real faith. Not just church faith. Praise God. Alrighty. So we believe it in our heart and say it is so with our mouth, and God will make it a reality in our lives. When we that's what we're called to do. All right, let's go to section three. We're almost done here. In section three, just believe and speak. Section three is just believe and speak. God just needs us to believe and speak. He'll tell you, he'll tell us the natural corresponding action we need to do depending on what we're believing and speaking, like maybe in the financial arena. You know, Lord, I believe that Jesus died to make me rich. I thank you that I've inherited the earth just like Abraham. I'm an heir of God and the joint heir with Jesus Christ. I believe that God, Father, I believe that you provide all my needs by Christ Jesus. How? By Christ Jesus. Okay, so where the money going to come from? I don't know, but God's made a way. And as you just keep saying that and believe that and trust that in your heart, if you need to do something naturally, he'll speak to you. You'll have to, oh yeah, bam, you make that move and bam, there it is. He knows everything. God already knows everything that is going to happen. This is so simple. So he knows what tomorrow holds. So when you believe that he's already made a way, he'll show you the way. Hallelujah. So now let's get this here. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, it's a spirit of faith, not an intellectual. It's in your spirit, in your heart. Okay. According to what is written, glory to God. I believe, therefore I spoke. Glory to God. Glory to God. Did you see that? Did you see that? It says, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe. Therefore I've spoken. Man. So there's a scripture that is written. And when you get a revelation of that from heaven, you believe it in your heart, you speak it with your mouth. We also believe, therefore we spoke. The spirit of faith always speaks what it believes scripturally concerning what God has provided for you in Jesus. And you know, I'm trying to settle down and just really teach people. But it amazes me that I talk to people going to church, and I don't try to tear nobody down or make them feel bad. But I ask them simple questions, and they don't know what they can't answer it. And I tell them, if you can't give a simple answer about your salvation, you simply don't know it. If you don't know what Jesus has done for you, and you're going to church, I was there. I love God and doing flips and running around doing all kind of stuff, happy. But I had no idea what Jesus had already provided for me, and I never put my faith in it. And I was a part of the faith movement, or I'm still, you know, but they wasn't teaching me to put my faith in Jesus. Well, every now and again, you know, they throw that out there. But the emphasis was about faith. And so when they was emphasizing faith, I was missing what faith was supposed to be placed in. Our faith is supposed to be placed in Jesus. And if you notice, a lot of people they don't talk about Jesus much over the pulpit. They preach and on you and at you. Alrighty. I said enough of that. Let's move on. Praise God. So this is the same way God dealt with Abraham when he told him that he was the father of many nations. So God revealed to Abraham his future. He told him that he had already made him a father of many nations. So faith has a tense. And when you get your tense right, you'll start, you're in total agreement with God. So it was already done. So God has already planned out our future, and it's a good future. He says, I know the thoughts I think towards you. And it's not to destroy you. He's got a wonderful life planned. Yeah. But everybody don't catch the bus. You know, like a, you know, that predestination. A lot of people teach predestination the wrong way. Well, the Lord got me to understand predestination in such a simple way for all the theologians that like to, you know, argue simplicity, argue things and make it more complicated. All righty. When I lived in Cincinnati, I grew up in Cincinnati, in Avondale or North Avondale. There was a bus that came up Reading Road, and there was three buses that came up. It was a 47, the 45, and the 43. Okay, they all was predestined. They was on the predestined route. If I miss that bus, I miss the predestined route. Did you get that? That's predestination. God has already planned out your life, but if you miss the bus stop, there's times and seasons of our life that he's ordained certain things. But if we miss the window or we miss the bus, well, you'll get to heaven and say, no, I planned that, you planned this for you, but you know, you had to walk. You had to do it the hard way. Or, you know, sometimes you have to wait until the next bus come. Don't miss that last bus. There's a couple of times I had to miss the, I missed the last bus, and I ain't, you know, we ain't had no Uber and all that stuff. I had to walk all the way from downtown Cincinnati, Ohio to, man, all the way up that hill. Why? Because you missed the bus. Predestination made simple. It's no guarantee unless you be at that bus stop. So he tells you what to do at certain times and seasons of our lives. And that's predestination simplified for you. Let's move on with your edumacated selves. Romans, I had to juke that one in on him. Woo! Where am I at? Romans 4:17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who believe. God who gives, now look at this, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which you, what? He calls those things which do not exist as though they what? Did. Because God starts the end from the beginning. But you got to stay on course. Stay the course. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, now, this is serious business here. Who calls those, who gives life to the dead, and who calls things which do not exist as though they did? God does. So now, faith is not just speaking anything, it's speaking in line with God. God's mode of operation is to speak things that do not exist as though they are. Why? Because God says they is. He knows what is ahead of you in the future. And if you continue to say what God says you have in Christ Jesus, it's going to manifest in your life. It's guaranteed to happen if you stay the course. And so Satan's job is to get you out of faith, to get you out of off course. Because the spiritual legality of heaven is you got to stay in faith. It's going to happen if you stay in faith. What's that? What is faith? Trusting God. I don't see how it's going to happen. It makes no sense to me how it's going to happen. I can't logically figure it out. Why? Because God has already planned it out, and he don't always give you all the details. He tells you the end before the beginning. He says, now trust me. Trust me. Everything going backwards, he says, trust me. You already got it. You're already there. And so you have to keep your mouth in line. You got to believe and speak. Just like Abraham says, I am Abraham, father of many. You got to keep saying, we got it. We got a full house here.
Hallelujah.
You see, this is how faith works. Why? Because God already showed you or told you the future. But you got to stand through it. And our natural man want to fight. Our natural man want to doubt. Why? Because that's the flesh nature. But the spirit man is doing flip-flops. Oh, yeah. All is well. All is well. All is well. Oh, glory to God. All is well. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
This is the principle. So just believe and speak, meaning say it so, according to the word of the Lord. Not according to the word of you. Not according to the word of Brother Larry. Not according to the word of Reverend so-and-so. According to the word of the Lord.
Amen.
And when you say what God has done for you in Christ Jesus, it's that thing gonna happen.
Amen.
He has to deny his son. And he ain't going to deny that blood. He's not going to deny the Son. But if you stay in agreement with what the blood then did for you, what the blood has purchased for you, you've got to have it. His word will not return void. It will make it bring forth. Just like the rain comes down from heaven and makes the seed grow, that means it's going to happen if you stay the course. Yeah, that check going to cash every single time. God called Abraham and Sarah and he said, he had already made them a nation. Genesis 17:5 says, no longer shall your name be called Abraham, but you shall be called Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. And so he had to say that even though he didn't see nothing. They ain't had no children, but they had to keep their mouth in line with what God said. Do you understand? It's a spiritual law of heaven. You're an The word confession means to say the same thing. Say what God said. Say what the word say you got in Jesus.
Hallelujah.
By his stripes I was healed. Oh man, but my body, that's your flesh. You got to press past your flesh and say it is so. Genesis 17:15-16 says, and God said to Abraham, as far as Sarai, your wife, you shall be called, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and I will give you a son by her.
By her.
Not by another woman, by her. And then I will bless her and she shall be a father, a mother of many nations, and kings and people shall be from her. And she couldn't even have a baby. And she was old. And huh? But they kept their mouth in line with Jesus. Their victory was in their mouth when they called themselves who God said they were to call themselves. I don't believe in that faith thing. Then you ain't saved. Because that's the way you got saved. By saying you believe in Jesus that you ain't never seen. Based on what Reverend said and preaching the book. And that's the truth. Praise God. All righty. In Joel 3:10, it says, let the weak say what? I am strong. So let the weak. You might be. I'm strong in the name of the Lord. Jesus is my health and healing. Man, glory to God. He is my prosperity and my plenty. Glory to God. You got to say it. 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 And we're talking about prayer. So you've been asking God, Lord, we thank you for all of our, you know, you've been, Lord, thank you, all of our bills are paid. We got plenty more to put in store. We got a minimum of $10,000 in our bank account, all of our bills. See what I'm saying? Well, man, and man, you only got $200-something in your bank account. Did you ask God to have a minimum of $10,000 in there? Then keep saying it. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. And as you keep saying it, heaven is moving to cause it to happen. Your angels are causing. Things is happening. He's arranging things. And then, bam! It's going to show up. It's going to happen. He'll give you financial strategies that you don't even know about right now. You understand what I'm saying? This is how it works. You just got to get your mouth in line with what the word says you have in Jesus. So, and when the blind man asked Jesus for his sight, Jesus asked him if he believed, and he said yes. In Matthew 9:28-29, it says, when he had come into the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus said to him, do you what? Believe. He says, do you believe that I am able to do it?
Yes.
Lord God. God can do anything but fail. You're right. Keep saying that. And expect it. Look at this. And they said, and they said to him, yes, Lord, yes. Then he touched their eyes and saying, look what he says, according to your faith, let it be to you. So they spoke their faith. They said, yes, Lord, we believe. Yes, Lord, we believe. According to your faith, let it be. See, that's the spiritual law. Let it be. In other words, according to what you say you believe about Jesus, it shall be. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's a good God.
Yes, he is.
Well, guess what? That's it. Hallelujah. That's all for now. I'll come back on Sunday. Hallelujah. And we're going to have part two where we're going to talk about God's mode of operation. I call it God's MO, God's mode of operation, and the believer's victory. So I love you. I pray you were blessed, and that God provided for you. I pray the blessings that God has provided for you over you. Hallelujah. Father God, I thank you for the people that this was for. I pray that you gave them the revelation they need. Give them further understanding so that they can grow and keep their mouth in line with what Jesus has done for them. Teach them how to trust you to the breakthrough, to see the manifestations of all that Jesus has provided. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Well, till next time. Love you.